Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and live from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, truly the sun and fun capital of the world this weekend. This is Dr. John Stamey, and welcome to Pro Wrestling Interviews. We've got a great show tonight as we are looking straight down to July the 4th tomorrow. And my co-host tonight is none other than Stellar Steve, Steve Logan. How are you doing tonight, Steve?
Well, I'm doing great. Lots to talk about, but I also want to introduce our guest panelist, Tony Robinson. Thanks for calling in. He's a Richmond native, and he's been to some of the events that I've been at, United Elite Wrestling. So
Steve, before anything happens, we have with us, let me make sure you can hear me say this. We have with us the one, the only Sinister. How are you doing tonight, Sinister?
I'm doing great. How you doing?
Fine. Happy July the 3rd. We're glad to have you with us. I'm turning it back over to Stellar Steve, Steve Logan, and he will include you in the conversation, and we've got a guest on tonight. So glad to have you here, and happy 4th weekend.
Glad. Yeah, glad to have Sinister on. And Tony, I did want to ask you a question while we had the time. What are your thoughts on United Elite Wrestling, and have you been to other local wrestling promotions before UEW, or just your thoughts on those two questions in general?
First of all, thank you, Steven, for having me on the show. I really do appreciate it. So the first independent show I've ever been to was NGW, which is from Nashville,
right.
Tennessee. They were on tour, and that's when I first met you. They had their first show right here in Richmond, Virginia, and it was an amazing show, and I got to meet Double K and all of them. And I heard about their show, UEW. And I decided to come out and see it. And since then, they've been like family.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm glad to hear that. They definitely enjoy seeing you and at UEW shows. And hopefully, if there's any dates announced upcoming in Richmond, I'll let you know. But and if there's other events that you can come out to, I'll definitely let you know those dates too. There's been a lot going on recently. There's been 3 events, and I wanted to briefly go over some UFC since we have Sinister on the line. Sinister's an experienced pro wrestler and martial artist, so if you have any questions for him later on, please do ask. Some of the results from UFC 276, I want to get that out of the way. The prelim, I didn't watch much of the prelim, but the main card. Sean O'Malley and his fight with Pedro went to a no contest with an eye poke. That was pretty bizarre. No contest finish. Obviously, wasn't intentional, but it's disappointing to start off the main card that way. Robbie Lawler in the Brian fight, Walter White fight. My friend said that was probably his favorite fight from last night, and I would agree. It was an interesting TKO. Finish. The middleweight fight after that was Alex Pereira with Sean Strickland, knockout with obviously a left hook. That was probably really disappointing for Sean Strickland. He was on a roll recently. He was getting some hype, like he was trash talking Israel Adesanya recently, and it seemed like whoever was going to win this fight was going to face Izzy for that middleweight title. And Alex Pereira's got some history with Israel Adesanya, so that's going to be very interesting, given that Alex has knocked out Izzy in kickboxing before, but not MMA, I believe. But so I think Izzy, he's going to have a very interesting opponent to go after next. And the featherweight fight after that was Alexander Volkanovski versus Max Holloway, and Volk had a really great performance. Went to decision, but he pretty much, I think, dominated. And, yeah, it was just impressive. And then the main event, one of my favorite MMA moments was Israel Adesanya coming out doing that tribute to Undertaker. He had, like, full production Undertaker entrance. And it was just, I was watching it live. I had no idea that that was going to, like, be planned. And then with Money in the Bank happening last night, too, in Vegas, pretty close by, the McMahons and Triple H, Stephanie, Pat McAfee were in attendance. And also from All Elite Wrestling, Tony Khan and Jim Ross were there, too. So big wrestling names there to go see a UFC event, but also, like, a really great WWE Undertaker full production style entrance. And then so yeah, it was just great. Like, I think it was pretty perfect. Like, it was kind of funny seeing him doing a pee on the he was like signaling that he's marking his territory on the cage before he got into the cage. And then but yeah, it was amazing. He had the hat, he had an urn that he was carrying with him. He did slow walk. He even raised his hands up and had the lights come on as he was doing it, as he was going for his hat. It was just like, it really impressed me with the production of it. And then he beat Jared pretty decisively. I mean, Jared had some moments, but it was mostly Izzy. And some people said it was boring, but, I mean, you can't just blame Izzy. You gotta, the opponent has to also lead the fight and charge him more, but Izzy was able to win by points, by decision. So, Sinister, I want to get your thoughts on this, on Izzy and any of the fight results and your thoughts on his entrance, because that was really awesome to see as an Undertaker fan.
Izzy, that was the best moment of the show that I liked. You know, if more fighters would do entrances, that just adds to the show, adds to the fight. It would be more and more interesting in drawing people into watching MMA. Like you said, they just can't blame it all on Izzy, you know, for being if they said the fight was boring, but you know, people got to understand, when you're on the inside of that cage fighting, you know, it's a whole lot different from somebody sitting at home watching it, you know, on the TV set or sitting in the crowd watching it. You know, me and you both know, because we've been on the mats, we've been in the cage, and, you know, it's totally different. You know, you're tired, you're hurt, you're listening for the bell, you're trying to figure out who's up on points and this and that. You got your corner man and your coach in your ear. So I wouldn't say the fight was boring. I'll just say that, you know, it was a good fight where you had to think, and a lot of people don't like to see fighters that think a lot. They just like to see, you know, the hot, like in wrestling, they like to see the hot spots. But overall, I think it was a good match, though.
Yeah, I would agree. Even Chael is defending Izzy's pace in his defense. That's definitely something I've thought about. Like, it's hard just doing 5-minute rounds of grappling, let alone going in there and doing like 5 minutes, you know, 5 rounds of 5 minutes. And even if you're not grappling, if you're just boxing, it's gotta be tiring. So that is something to keep in mind. But yeah, I'm glad I witnessed some of that. I have to go back and rewatch a lot of it, but I'm glad I caught some of the main card and that entrance live, like kind of like live reacting to it. It was so cool. I even paid a little tribute today too during open mat. They didn't expect it. It was pretty funny. Brought the mask too. I was doing a little cosplay like Izzy was too. But I wanted to also touch on Money in the Bank, since I've had a couple friends kind of interact with me, tell me that it was a good show, and then I'm sure Tony saw it too, but I'll briefly go over the results and get Tony's thoughts on that. Yeah, let me pull up the listing. Okay. The main card, it was, the opening match was the women's ladder match, and Liv Morgan won, and it was Alexa Bliss, Asuka, Becky Lynch, Lacey Evans, Raquel Rodriguez, and Shotzi Blackheart also in that match. It was kind of surprising for Liv Morgan to win. She's been somewhat popular, but never been, you know, in a top spot like that. So it's kind of well-deserved. I wish Asuka was in that top spot, even though she's been dominant before several times. I think Becky Lynch could have been in that top spot again. I think Raquel Rodriguez has a lot of potential, and I really like Shotzi Blackheart. I think she's underrated, but it seemed like a pretty well-received win for Liv Morgan. You deserve a chance later on in the show, and I'll get to that. But second match after that was the U.S. title match with Bobby Lashley in Austin Theory, and that was by a submission in 11 minutes. I'm glad Bobby Lashley is a champion. Theory, he's obviously got other plans. He's still going to be in the mix for the top titles, but Lashley, I think, well deserved to have another title reign. And I think Lashley should be facing Roman, to be honest. Like, if he didn't have the U.S. title, I think Lashley and Roman would make sense to me. But we'll see what's next for Lashley. Bianca Belair and Carmella had the women's Raw title match. Bianca Belair retained. Not thrilled that Carmella was her opponent, but, I mean, this was a good showing for Carmella. And I really wanted Rhea Ripley versus Bianca Belair. Like, I don't watch the WWE TV that much, so I'm not as well invested. But I am a fan of Rhea Ripley. And Bianca Belair has definitely progressed very quickly on her main roster run. And then the tag team match for the Undisputed Tag Team titles was the Usos, Street Profits. I would say that's definitely one of the better matches of the night, for sure. Lots of high-flying from Montez Ford. And Usos retained. Not surprised. We'll see if Street Profits can still keep teaming up or if they eventually split off. I don't think it'll be good for them to split, but we'll see if they can go into singles action if they don't keep challenging, because Usos seem to be pretty dominant tag teams in tag team division. And then the SmackDown's championship match, Ronda Rousey defeated Natalya by submission. I'm really glad that Natalya got this match with Ronda Rousey. They have history together. Also, when Sasha Banks walked out with Naomi recently, I think Sasha Banks was supposed to have this match with Ronda Rousey originally, is what I heard. I think that would have been a good match too, but Natalya, I think, is underrated and definitely one of the better technical wrestlers, and so I think that was a good opponent for Ronda Rousey. Ronda Rousey obviously retained. But and then right after Rousey defeated Natalya, it seemed like Ronda was fell on the leg, like she had a hurt leg. Liv Morgan cashed in her Money in the Bank contract. So basically, to anyone that's not familiar, the Money in the Bank ladder matches are a title shot that you can cash in at any point. And you have up to a year is when those run out. But so Liv Morgan cashed in the same night. And it seemed like Ronda Rousey got the ankle locked in on Liv Morgan, but Liv Morgan was able to escape and kick Ronda's leg and roll up Ronda. And I'm kind of surprised that Liv Morgan would be the first, one of the first women wrestlers, one of the first wrestlers to defeat Ronda Rousey in a singles match. Now Ronda has been defeated before, I think by Becky Lynch in a triple threat. She may have been defeated before that, but very interesting that Liv Morgan was one of the first wrestlers to defeat Ronda in singles action. But it made sense given the story that they were telling. And Ronda Rousey hugged and endorsed Liv Morgan after losing. So Ronda was able to keep her in a positive light. And then the main event was it was a ladder match for the men's Money in the Bank briefcase. Drew McIntyre, Madcap Moss, Omos, Riddle, Sami Zayn, Seth Rollins, and Sheamus, and the last minute entrant was Austin Theory, and that was added by Adam Pearce before the match, and Austin Theory got the win.
Hey, Steve, this is Dr. John.
Yeah, go ahead, John.
You mentioned Sheamus. Did I see that he just married Lindsay Lohan?
No, I don't think that's true. I think that'd be funny if he did, though.
That just came by my news feed about 6:30 this afternoon, is that he married Lindsay Lohan. And I thought, surely, well, maybe.
That's going to be fake news.
Well, okay, if it's fake news, you heard it here first on Pro Wrestling Interviews. I'm sorry about that, but when you said it, I said, no, I got to mention this. Okay, all right, so we're pretty sure that's fake news, right?
Oh yeah, that's gotta be kayfabe news. Maybe not.
Well, Steve, you certainly wanted me to mention that I saw that, right?
Oh sure, it brought me a laugh.
Okay,
but,
good. All right, back to you, buddy.
I'll finish up this card review. Money in the Bank. Yeah, Austin Theory won the men's Money in the Bank ladder match, and I was hoping for Matt Riddle to win or Sami Zayn, but Seth Rollins could have been a favorite to win, but with Austin Theory being a last minute addition, it just wasn't too hard to predict that he'd win, but I'm not thrilled, but I'm not surprised either, given how they position Theory a lot on TV. I want to get Tony's thoughts on Money in the Bank. What'd you see of it? What'd you think overall?
Oh man, Money in the Bank was absolutely amazing last night. I think like all the matches were good. And one thing I was really impressed was Liv Morgan not only becoming Miss Money in the Bank, but also becoming the SmackDown Women's Championship. And Liv Morgan really deserved it. But I've been a huge fan of Liv Morgan since her time back at NXT. And I was actually talking about this to Rudy Soho back at Galaxy Con right here in Richmond, Virginia. I was talking about how I'm like a huge fan of her and Liv and Sarah, and how much I really like was inspired by them growing up, and to see Liv win her very first title in WWE, it's really, really amazing. And of course, you know, I wasn't surprised with Bianca retaining her title because I knew that was going to happen anyway. Bobby Lashley is one of the most dominant wrestlers in WWE right now. And after him defeating both Omos and MVP in a handicap match, I knew that they were going to give him that push again in the becoming champ. So, you know, big congratulations to him defeating Theory and becoming United States champion. The UFO Street Profits, one of my favorite matches that night. A good 23 minutes. Mm-hmm. Really, really good. And I know, as you've seen, that Montez Ford's arm was up and the ref didn't see it. And, of course, that's how the Usos retained. So when I saw that, I was thinking, like, okay, could
oh,
this
yeah, that's right.
lead to – Yeah, and I was thinking –
I'm glad you mentioned that. Go ahead.
So I was thinking to myself, okay, can this lead to a rematch at SummerSlam? And if
right.
it does lead to a rematch at SummerSlam, that would be good for the Street Profits, because the Street Profits is one of the best tag teams in WWE right now. And yeah, but Ronda Rousey versus Natalya. Natalya, like, I really do see Natalya as a technique wrestler because, you know, she gets that from her family. So, you know, she comes from a family wrestler, you know, with her dad being, you know, Jimmy Angel Neidhart and her uncle Bret Hart, Owen Hart, British Bulldog. Like, all of those guys were technique wrestlers, and that's what I see Natalya as. And for her to go one-on-one with Ronda Rousey, it's absolutely amazing, because Ronda Rousey is one of the most badass wrestlers in the world, from winning the UFC Bantamweight Champion, she's actually the first Bantamweight Champion, and from her winning, you know, the Raw Women's Championship, and now for her to, as SmackDown Women's Champion, you know, Ronda Rousey is one of the best things out there. And for the men's Money in the Bank, you know, it really shocked me to see Theory win Money in the Bank, because I didn't expect for him to win. Like, I was hoping for either, like, Riddle or Sami Zayn, because as I was thinking about that, like, I was thinking about, like, the history that Roman Reigns has with both Riddle and Sami right now.
Right.
Like, Sami, like, you know, aligned with the Bloodline, and Riddle feuding with Roman. And I was thinking at first, if Riddle did win, it would probably end up as Roman retaining his title against Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam, and Riddle comes out, catches him, he wins the title, and yeah.
Yeah, I'm really glad you mentioned the shoulder not being down during the tag team match. I almost completely forgot about that. They made that a big deal after the match too. They showed the replay. And so yeah, that'll probably play into a rematch. And then yeah, I'm pretty much in alignment with you about wanting to see someone else like Riddle or Zayn win. And there's something really small I just noticed as I was watching it back. Matt Riddle had these green painted fingernails. Just funny, I just noticed it. Some small detail, but and then Izzy Adesanya, he's got painted fingernails too, and it's funny, like, seeing these fighters, because I've been painting my fingernails too for the wrestling shows, so it's funny seeing it in UFC and WWE as well. I see it in AEW, but Sinister, I wanted to get your thoughts on Money in the Bank. Did you have a favorite moment or match or your thoughts overall on the show if you did see any of it?
Well, overall, I don't like the fact that Liv Morgan became the champion over Ronda Rousey because, you know, nothing against her, but Natalia Hart has been underrated and misused for the longest time. And if anybody deserved to beat Ronda, it should have been Natalia. Because, you know, this woman been there for a while. She's considered a veteran amongst a lot of these women. And her and Ronda got chemistry together. Liv Morgan, yeah, she's popular, but I don't think she's ready yet. And as far as the tag team match with the Usos, I mean, that's a good match. And, yeah, I keep forgetting the name of the other team. But the you know what I'm talking about. But those guys.
Two in the ladder match?
No, in the tag team match, the ones that fought the Usos. Street Profits.
Oh, the Street Profits, yeah. Ford and Dawkins.
Well, since they've been losing, if they do split, before they split, and this always happened with every tag team, because it seemed like when every tag team split up, one guy goes on to be successful and very popular, and the other one kind of drifts off. So before they do that, they got to make sure they have a good spot for both men. So even if they feud against each other or whatever, they'll both still be in the limelight instead of one just going up and the other one just kind of drifting off. But the far as the U.S. tag team match, U.S. title match with Bobby Lashley and Austin Theory.
Yeah.
Bobby Lashley won. I'm kind of glad he won, but for some reason, I don't think that the United States title is being I don't think it's being held up like the world title and the world tag team titles and different things. Like, but for some reason, it's kind of like it's like dry, and I think they need to do more with that title so when somebody wins it, that title stands out. No matter if it's Bobby Lashley or Austin Theory or whoever got the title. And far as the main event, Austin Theory win it. I just didn't like that. You know.
Agreed.
And if he beat Roman Reigns, I'm sorry, I may not even watch WWE anymore. I just can't stomach it.
Yeah, I've been very jaded about their TV. I don't watch the TV as much anymore. I just if I'm paying for Peacock, I might as well watch pay-per-views. But I'll catch some of the TV highlights like online and stuff. But it seemed like overall it was a fine show. Not the worst they put on, but I'm glad some enjoyed it, but I'm a bigger fan of Talia than Liv Morgan. I take satisfaction that Liv Morgan is a former Ruby Riot Squad member. That was cool hanging out with Tony at GalaxyCon, and we actually talked to Ruby Riot about Liv Morgan and Sarah Logan. It's always a mixed bag for me, WWE, but I really thought John Cena was going to challenge Austin Theory for, like, the U.S. title, but I'm glad Bobby Lashley has it. It's been overall positive feedback I've heard, but some of the results I would have changed to as well. I do want to talk about AEW's Forbidden Door, but Dr. John, did you have any plugs that you want to mention?
Well, I want to plug WLSC AM and FM, Loris, Conway, Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, the home of Banana Jack Murphy, Little Town Big Talk in the morning at 10 a.m. with Marshall Biddle, and sometimes me talking about the paranormal and everything. And Steve, we're going to have to get you on there to talk about some wrestling when we do the paranormal one of these weeks. And Sinister, we might just get you on there too. In fact, we might get you and Sinister on there, Steve. That'd be a lot of fun. But anyway, thanks. And WLSC, AM and FM, 1240, 106.1, Loris, Conway, Myrtle Beach. Back to you, buddy.
Yeah, I mean, UFC felt pretty paranormal when Izzy Adesanya came out as Undertaker, and then I've seen vampires wrestling up close, so I've seen some wrestling paranormal. But I do want to cover Forbidden Door. We talked about it last week, kind of doing our predictions, but super excited that I got to check that out. And it seemed like a cursed show. A lot of injuries going on, a lot of, you know, people having to pull out, like CM Punk and Bryan Danielson just for injuries, and Romu Takahashi getting a fever, and then Ishii had to pull out, and Clark Connors replaced them. But overall, I knew I was going to enjoy the show, and I did, so I'll briefly go over it. Some of the pre-show matches, Bishamon, Goto and Yoshihashi defeated The Factory, Aaron Solo, QT Marshall. Second, after that, Lance Archer defeated Nick Camerato. Lance Archer is one of my favorites, so definitely glad he was having a match. Swerve in Our Glory, Keith Lee and Swerve Strickland defeated Suzuki Gun, El Desperado, and Kanemaru. I'm a fan of Suzuki Gun, but I predicted Keith Lee and Swerve to win, so not surprised. I think they're actually a good tag team, but hopefully more Suzuki Gun at another crossover event like this as well. Eight-man tag match, kind of not surprised. Max Caster and the Gun Club defeated the LA Dojo students. Coughlin, DKC, Kevin Knight, my pin, eight-man tag match. And the main card started with Minoru Suzuki and Latex Gods, Chris Jericho, and Sammy Guevara with Tay Conti, and they defeated Eddie Kingston, Shota Umino, and Wheeler Yuta. Definitely predicted Suzuki and Sex Gods to win, so I'm not too surprised, given that the stake in the match was they were going to receive the main advantage for Blood and Guts, which is like their War Games match in AEW. And Minoru Suzuki is just a combat sports legend, and super glad whenever he can make a North American appearance, TV appearance like this. So that was good. And then also, they had the history with Shota Umino. They kind of highlighted that before the match even started. They showed Jericho giving Shota Umino the Boston Crab in Japan way back when because Red Shoes was the referee, and his Shota was just a young ring boy at that point. And Shota really got the look, and I think he'll be a star at some point in Wheeler Yuta. Is progressing too. Definitely glad I got to see Eddie Kingston in there tearing it up with Suzuki, giving some chops like an All Japan match. So I was definitely happy with that. FTR through the three-way winner takes all match for the ROH and IWGP titles. I definitely saw FTR winning, and they did. They defeated United Empire, Great Okan, and the Roppongi Vice, Rocky Romero, and Trent Beretta. Great Okan has been a threat in tag team wrestling, but FTR, just they're unstoppable. They're on a great run. Seventh match, four-way match for the inaugural AEW All-Atlantic Championship. It feels kind of like their Intercontinental title. Pac defeated Clark Connors and Miro and Malakai Black and submitted Clark Connors. Definitely enjoyed this match. I really thought Miro and Malachi Black were going to win, but I'm kind of surprised, pleasantly surprised that Pac won. I think it's fitting. He's kind of been underrated and kind of been floating a lot, so it's good to see Pac in the title picture and becoming a champion in AEW. Six-man tag match. Eighth match was the Dudes with Attitude, Darby Allin, Sting, and Shingo Takagi versus Bullet Club, El Fantasmo, and Young Bucks, Matt and Nick Jackson, with Hikuleo ringside. Unfortunate that Hiromu Takahashi couldn't make it, but overall, I really enjoyed this match. I really loved the Sting entrance. They kind of were showing the Raptors, and I kind of thought they were going to do a Sting Raptor entrance like WCW. They teased it, but they changed camera angles, and they're showing the stage, and Sting jumped off like this high, the tunnels, because there's two tunnels on the stage, and Sting jumped off. It was like watching a Batman movie, except it's 60-year-old Sting, just like being a superhero and just flying on top of the Bullet Club. That was an awesome way to start that and his entrance. And Shingo Takagi, I believe, got the win by pinfall, and I believe it might have been El Fantasmo. Shingo Takagi, I think, is really good. He should be definitely in singles titles matches, hopefully. They'll have him back for another crossover event. I think Los Ingobernables Stay Upon is one of my favorite New Japan factions, and it was funny hearing Kevin Kelly call them Los Ingobernables. Some wordplay. And then the women's title match, kind of surprised Thunder Rosa retained. I thought Toni Storm was going to win for the AEW Women's World title. But we'll see what's next for Toni and Rosa. Singles match for the IWGP US title, Will Ospreay defeated Orange Cassidy. Will Ospreay had his Aussie Open tag team with him ringside. Not surprised that Orange Cassidy lost, but definitely was a sleeper. Like, it was definitely a match that was really impressed, I think, wrestlers and viewers watching. Good showing for Orange Cassidy and Ospreay. I think Juice and Ospreay make sense, given that Juice Robinson still has the physical title belt. But, good match with those two. Claudio Cantagnoli made the surprise entrance. I figured it was going to be him. And Zack Sabre Jr. Lost by pinfall to Claudio in 18 minutes. Just really good technical wrestling exhibition. I'm glad Claudio is in AEW, and he's going to be in the Blackpool Combat Club. It just makes sense, given his relationship with Brian Danielson and Cesar and Regal, too. 12th match. Four-way for the IWGP World Heavyweight title. You don't usually see four-ways for the top World Heavyweight title in a New Japan card, but this is a crossover event with the AEW. So Jay White was the champion and coming in, and he retained against Hangman Adam Page, Kazuchika Okada, and Adam Cole. Not surprised Jay White won. I kind of would root for Okada, just for that reaction of him winning. I think the live crowd would have wanted a title change, and but it would have been a really too short of a reign for Jay White, so not surprised. Adam Cole seems to be hurt. Hopefully he can recover soon, and it seemed like they might have ended the match a little bit shorter. It was 21 minutes, though, but it, maybe with Cole being hurt, maybe that shortened the finish a little bit. But the main event, 13th match, was John Moxley with William Regal ringside. versus Hiroshi Tanahashi for the interim AEW World Title. I had no doubt that Tanahashi was not winning the title against John Moxley, just due to scheduling. But Tanahashi is one of the best of all time, especially in Japan and internationally. But John Moxley versus CM Punk is definitely going to be a match I'll look forward to when Punk is cleared. Sinister, your thoughts on this, and then I'll ask Tony after. On this
well,
card,
I was certainly glad to see Sting and see what he did by jumping out the tunnel. Because, you know, he's been the prime example to show you that a veteran could still reinvent themselves and also make themselves more noticeable. And I just like Sting because, you know, he never gives you the same old thing over and over again. You never know what to expect for him. And him and Darby Allin, I mean, those guys, to me, that's just awesome. I've always been a Sting fan. Far as I can't think of it. It was one match you had mentioned that I think the John Moxley match.
Moxley Tanahashi.
It's okay. I'm just not a fan of that type of style. But, you know, I think it added something to it. Now, I believe that Orange Cassidy should have won against Ospreay. But, you know, every now and then, you know, you got to have somebody to come in to, you know, throw you off the loop. But, hey, Ospreay, you know, I take my hat off to him. And Keith Lee and his partner, you know, I think they had a good match. The LA Dojo, or whatever they call themselves, and you know that was a pretty good match. Yeah. But overall, you know, it was an okay show. I give it to them. You know, I'm just kind of surprised with all the injuries and stuff that's been happening in AEW where certain people can't perform on certain shows. And I just think a lot of it is they being pushed too fast or they're not training enough where everything could be in sync. That's just way too many injuries for one company to have.
Well, that's the thing. It's not just AEW, WWE, and New Japan has suffered from this. It's been a horrible thing for wrestling, but with AEW's roster being deep as it is, it helps. But, it definitely exceeded expectations, I think, given all the injuries and whatnot. And Ishii and Takahashi had to pull out, too, from New Japan. I really enjoyed the bloody blood and guts of Moxley with Tanahashi, and it was kind of chaotic in the crowd. There was a fight going on, and I thought it was fitting that it was during a Moxley match where he's kind of a brawler. Obviously with AEW Blood and Guts happening that same week, they kind of continued that trend and had a really good War Games match with Jericho Appreciation Society versus Blackpool Combat Club and Eddie Kingston's and Proud and Powerful group. So I really enjoyed seeing Claudio get the win against one of Jericho's stablemates, and Eddie was pissed that he didn't tap out Jericho first. So I'm thinking they're going to play off that with Claudio and Eddie Kingston having a match at some point. Tony, did you catch any of Forbidden Door or AEW this past week?
I catched up a little bit on it, and I think overall, like, it was, like, a really, really good show. The one match that I really loved was before four-way match for the IWGP Heavyweight Championship. And the one thing that I have mentioned was everybody was really impressed with the introduction of the match with both Justin Roberts and
I think he might have been Shibata, too. There was – oh, yeah. I almost forgot. Sorry to interrupt.
Yes.
But, like, Shibata, Katsuyori Shibata showed up after the Orange Cassidy Will-Ospreay match. That was my favorite moment. That and Claudio Castagnoli showing up. But Katsuyori Shibata showing up and then having Orange Cassidy put the glasses on him, that was just great. Like, Shibata is one of my favorite New Japan guys, and he almost had to retire due to hematoma from headbutting Okada in that epic match from Sakura Genesis years ago. So I'm always glad to see more Shibata when he can make a return. But, yeah, I believe the Japanese ring announcer was really good, too, at the introductions. Like, him and Justin were just they make the matches feel like a big fight. But go ahead. I'm glad you brought that up.
Oh, okay. So yeah, that was also a good message. Because Kazusha, like, he is like one of the most greatest wrestlers in New Japan, and you know, I'm glad like they got to do like AEW and New Japan together, because usually you don't see a lot of brands doing shows together. Like, I remember the last time. Two brands ever did a show together with both WWE and WCW when they were feuding during the Attitude Era.
Yeah.
I think it was the Attitude Era. Yeah. So yeah, like that's yeah. So this is like a really good match. Pac, he really well deserved to win the All Atlantic Championship. FTR, like they deserve. They deserve this win, like, one of the great tag teams right now. Tony Storm, like, I also look up to Tony Storm, and I was rooting for Tony Storm. But at the same time, you know, Thunder Rosa, she is also an amazing wrestler, and she, she really deserves this win as well. I was really excited to see Cesaro, aka Claudio, make his AEW debut. Now with Moxley and Hiroshi, like, I wish Hiroshi would have won because I didn't really see Moxley winning there. Moxley is an amazing wrestler. Like, he is one of the most greatest pro wrestlers out there. But I think that Hiroshi should have won that match. And the other thing is one that I am really impressed with to see is, you know, the Gun Club, you know, with Billy wrestling with his son, Austin and Colton. Like, and we love to see father and son duo. But when you think of father and son duo, you think of the Mysterios and Larry the X and Mr. Perfect. And to see, like, Billy Gunn as a veteran and wrestling with his son is, like, absolutely amazing. But overall, like, this whole card was amazing. And the Bullet Club reunion, like, I love Bullet Club. And, I really hope they do this again.
I think Tanahashi versus CM Punk would be a really good match, and I hope they do that at some point. I think you could play off Punk and Moxley having their history with WWE against each other, as you know, Ambrose, but also with Moxley going to rehab and Punk giving that heartfelt his best wishes to Moxley. I think you could kind of play off of that mutual respect. And also just Moxley wanting to prove that he's best. And I think because I'm a Blackpool Combat Club fan and a William Regal fan, that was kind of rooting for Moxley versus Punk to happen, but I think Tanahashi, he definitely needs to have another a big match in AEW if they do another Forbidden Door show, which I think they will do. Obari, the New Japan president, said that he'd love to do another crossover event like Forbidden Door, and this year would make sense given it's the 50th year anniversary of New Japan. Since we got 10 minutes left, Tony, if you have anything you'd like to plug or mention, I know it's a bit early, but I'd love to see where we can reach you online and if you have anything you'd like to mention.
Oh, yeah. Well, first of all, I want to say thank you for having me on this podcast. You know, wrestling has been my life since I was a little kid. And, like, growing up, like, wrestling has really changed my life. And the one thing I've always wanted to be was a professional wrestler, you know, like, be in the wrestling business. And, that's really my goal right now.
Mm-hmm.
So one thing, I've been getting, like, really good advice from different superstars. I got advice from, like, people like Rich Swann and, of course, Ruby Soho and Chris Statlander, Britt Baker, Leva Bates, and all of them say, were telling me, like, you know, just do what you love to do, and make sure it's something that you want to do. And I'm really hoping I will become a professional wrestler one day and be in the wrestling business.
Yeah, I think I have similar aspirations. And I know Sinister, he's a very experienced pro wrestler and martial artist. Is there anything you'd like to ask Sinister, by the way, about while we still have time? I think he wrestled for WCW or in the power plant, was trained by them and, with WCW. So if there's anything you'd like to ask Sinister, please do.
Yeah. One thing I would do like to ask, what advice would you give to someone who wants to be a professional wrestler? And like, what are like the main tips to make sure that I should do when I do become a professional wrestler?
Well, first of all, just make sure that you, make sure you're in tip-top shape. And what
right.
I mean by that, I don't mean you have to be a bodybuilder, but just make sure that your health is good and make sure your cardio is good. And then on top of that, just go through your training. First of all, learn your basics. You learn your basics, get them pat down, then, you add whatever you want to add to it, no matter if it's high-flying or catch wrestling or whatever it may be. And if you do a gimmick, make sure it's a gimmick that you're comfortable with. Don't let somebody choose your gimmick because you may not be comfortable with it, and it may not work out for you, but, just come to terms on what you want to do and keep your head above water. And always make sure that when you do a show, if you're getting paid, make sure you're getting your money. So that's my advice. And just stay away from the dark side of the wrestling world, which is the drugs, the politics, and, everything else that comes with it that they warn you about now in these documentaries.
Yeah, I definitely agree. Got to get in shape, and Dusty Rhodes wasn't a body guy, but he definitely had the cardio. I'm trying to work on my cardio, too, because I think just doing some grappling or some group classes really helps. And then obviously lifting in the gym will definitely help. So, and if you can't do any in-ring, I would say get into broadcasting. I think that's a good way to get into. Jerry Lawler got into wrestling through his radio experience, his radio work. So there's some ways you can get in without even training in-ring first. So, yeah. Sinister, is there anything you'd like to mention or plug while we still have time as well?
This Saturday coming up, IWE having their main event in Augusta, which I will be on that card, and hopefully, you know, that show will be a success, and hopefully we don't have any, you know, foul wrestler, you know, fights this time like we had last time. So hopefully this will be successful, you know, without a disaster. And besides that, I'll be doing my regular training at the dojo and grappling on the mats. So that's about what I got going on so far.
Yeah, I just want to thank United Elite Wrestling for the opportunity and meeting super fans like Tony and others, and you know, just being a small part and getting to interact with the big national wrestlers, the independent wrestlers, and the locals, and I'm glad there's a lot to talk about. There's a lot going on in wrestling and combat sports. And I want to shout out to M. Rice Photography, Mike Rice Photography. He did that photography at the recent UEW event, and the photos he took of me turned out really well. So shout out to M. Rice Photography. And Dr. John, if you have any plugs, please do. Oh, also, you can find me at Star Stevens. Tony Robinson, how can we find you before I give it to Dr. John?
Tony Robinson is my Facebook. I don't have, like, that's my own personal Facebook. Anybody would like to, find me and, like, invite me to their podcast, they're more welcome to message me. I do have an Instagram. It's called music_is_forever10. You can follow me on there. And, yeah.
Thank you so much, Tony. And Dr. John, anything you'd like to announce?
Yeah, yes, I would. First of all, Sinister made a great statement. Be careful with your gimmick. And it is regrettable that the one gimmick that caused the most damage, in my opinion, in all of professional wrestling, was one created by Vince McMahon when he told Rhonda Singh, one of the greatest wrestlers of all time. She was a lady. She wrestled Susan Green, and I know this story from Susan Green. When he said, all right, well, we're done with you now. Gain 50 pounds, be Dusty Rhodes' girlfriend from the trailer park, and we'll make you the world champion. Made a world champion for 58 days. Then he said, lose 50 pounds. And she died when she was Bertha Faye. And Rhonda Singh was truly one of the greatest wrestlers in history. And, you know, just you got to be careful. And thank you, Vince McMahon, for a very sad moment in wrestling history. So anyway, there you go, Sinister. And I agree with you. Be careful. Like your gimmick. I like my gimmick. I'm Dr. John. I've been Dr. John, you know.
That's how I finish.
What'd you say?
I'll say that's a half finish, Dr. Jones.
Well, really is. It's what it is. But anyway, just wanted to let everybody know the new book, Land Between the Lakes, with Elijah Henderson, is on the way. It'll be done in about 60 days, featuring the story about the vampire cult, one of the most horrific murders in the history of the United States. And we're working on it now, and we're excited to be covering this and maybe right a few wrongs that were done in the trial. So we're going to see we're going to really catch some heat for this, and I'm fine with it. So anyway,
Please update me later on that book, but go ahead and finish.
I will. And anyway, I wanted to thank our three people tonight other than me. I was just here as beautiful decoration. I'm just teasing. Sinister, you're a great person to have on this show. Steve, you're doing a marvelous job hosting it. And Tony, thank you. You were an incredible guest. So everybody, in my opinion, tonight gets a 10. Actually, a 10.1, because you guys were great. So I wanted to say thank you very much. And now the Amazing Velvet is going to be back, he says, on the 17th of this month. We can't wait to have him now. Sinister, will you be here that night? I hope you will be.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I'll try to be.
Steve, you better, or I'll drive up to Richmond, and I'll put you in the sleeper hold, okay?
Okay. I get enough of that on Sundays.
Thanks a lot. And I'm gonna let Steve take it home. But thanks for having me as getting everything going. And, Steve, tell us, Eric, tell us all goodbye.
Yeah, please keep listening to Pro Wrestling Interviews, live feeds at 7:30. Guys, thanks for coming on. And, keep on listening.
Keep on keeping on. We'll see everybody next week. Same bat time, or as Sting would say, same bat time, same bat channel, and be the Sting because he's the best. So thanks a lot for being here with Pro Wrestling Interviews. And I'll try to make sure we get gone before the British lady yells at us. So everybody take care. Goodbye.
All right, take care.